Father, thank you so much for the kids. Thank you for what you've given us. Thank you that we can just be here and soak it in. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to lift your name on high and to worship you and to praise you for what you've done and what you will be doing. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can run it.
My life is crazy. I can't seem to get through it. If God is real, then why the fuck does that stuff keep happening?
The fact that you are here is proof that God does exist. Have you ever spent a year to design two random molecules and coming together and being alone? God is a God of order, and we all must go through the same process. When God created Adam and Eve, it was a meticulous process. And that's why it seems that you can't get great. Because that's where it starts, baby, with being broken. We've all been there, and we all go through it. The reason things are not going your way is exactly that. You are going your own way. God has an expected path for you. When you refer to this as operating in the will of God, by David Psalm 37:4, is the most misunderstood scripture in the Bible. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. The misconception is that if you believe in God, he will give you stuff. God is not a genie. The truth of the scripture resides in the word give. Give is a thing. Yes, God will give or reveal to you what your desire should be. And if you accept and read this desire, then that he will go your way. Not because of your desire, but because you will be operating in the will of God. All the things that you have to do is because you're not what God wants you to be. You have to get out your own way. If you'll be honest with yourself, let me know. Come on. You can't get away because you can get away with bad decisions. That's on you. But allow that you have to let go and let God lead you where you need to be.
Amen. I wanted to start with that because we're going to talk about something that I'm in this last week especially, I've been more increasingly aware of a problem in our Christian churches. Salvation. Salvation is not understood like it should be understood. Not only are some people who are going to church not understanding what salvation is all about, but they're also not understanding how to be saved. They're not understanding that you can know for sure that you're saved, and they don't know how to share their faith. I get so many people come up and ask me, you know, how do I share with so-and-so about the Lord? And I have to just share with them the simplicity of the gospel. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at it as we go through the scriptures and as we go through this time period of the sermon time. So first, what is salvation and how are we saved? I want us to look at several scriptures. And their first one is in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. 1685 in your pew Bible. 1685 in the pew Bible. Acts chapter 16, and verse 31. First of all, as you go back to get context of this, Paul and Silas are in prison. And while they're in prison, Paul, he's a preacher. And so he's singing, he and Silas are singing songs and praising the Lord and praying and doing all those kinds of things. I'm sure he's witnessing to the other guys in the jail. And the jailer is hearing all this going on. An earthquake comes, all the doors fly open, and the jailer is ready to kill himself because, that's his life. If the prisoners get away, that's on him. And he's either going to die or they're going to throw him in jail for his life. And so he's just scared to death. Now, verse 29, the jailer, he calls for, you know, a torch or something. You know, they didn't have a light switch they could flip on. And so he calls for a torch and candles, whatever, and rushed in and looks and sees Paul and Silas and the prisoners still there. He brought them out, in verse 30, he says, brought them out, and he asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your household." So the simplicity of the gospel is, it's not complicated. It's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now there's a little, it goes a little deeper than that. We all know John 3:16. You don't have to go there. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have eternal life. God loved the world. He sent His only Son. So we're not intended to perish. We're intended to be saved. We're intended to have eternal life. Well, in John 14:6, you don't have to turn to that one either for time's sake. We know this scripture by heart. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through Him. You cannot get to heaven except through Jesus. It's the only way. Now in Acts 4, you're already in Acts, so turn back to chapter 4. If you turn the pages 1661 in the Pew Bibles, Acts chapter 4. And verse 12. Now, they're sharing again. Peter and John are sharing before the Sanhedrin. And Peter is sharing the gospel. And he tells them about Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. See, now to the Jews, when he said Jesus Christ, Christ means Messiah. It's not his last name. And so he's saying the Christ of Nazareth, the one who you crucified, and then God raised him from the dead. That's in the previous verses. Verse 12, it says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." You're not going to be saved without Jesus. So in Jesus, we find salvation. So how do you find salvation in Jesus? I mean, it sounds so simple. Well, what do? Just tattoo His name on us, or, you know, walk around and speak His name? What do? First, it's trusting Him. Trusting Him with your life. Confessing Him. Committing yourself to Him and to His will. Submit to Him and His will. Romans chapter 10, I want you to go there, 17:21 in your Pew Bibles. I'm moving a little bit fast, but I want us to catch all these scriptures, and then we're going to bring it all together. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. All right. So it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your mouth that you believe and are justified, and it is with your heart, that you believe and are justified, with your mouth that you confess and are saved. In other words, what is it about confession? What is it about speaking it out? Well, if you go to any business and want to succeed in business, they're going to give you leadership training. They're going to bring you into this leadership training, and they're going to tell you how to be successful. Every leadership book and every book about trying to be successful, no matter what you want to do, is going to tell you the same thing. You've got to repeat what you want, your goals. The goals that you have for yourself, you've got to repeat them over and over again. Paste them on your mirrors. Paste them in your car. Put them everywhere you go so that you confess it, confess it, confess it. Those are worldly goals. Those are things that, like, you know, well, I want to be a millionaire and by whatever age, and I want to be successful in business, whatever it is. But you go through the secular counseling and they all say the same thing. You repeat it over and over again. Because as you repeat it with your mouth, it soaks in to the rest of you, your mind and your heart. Like, if you're wanting to be a success, "I am a success. I am a success." You repeat that over and over again. If you feel like you've got no self-worth, you go around, "I'm beautiful. I'm a good person. I can do this." All these things you can repeat over and over. "I'm happy. I'm happy." And you do this over and over again. Well, confession is repeating it over and over. then I am a believer. I believe in Jesus as my Savior. Now, there's a lot of people that kind of go around and they say, well, I'm not so sure that I believe in Jesus. I'm not so sure. I prayed and asked Him in my heart, but I don't know, I'm not sure that He's there. Confess. 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 Because there's scriptures, we're going to get to it, that speak about salvation and security of salvation. That once you trust Him with your heart and your life, you're going to change. You're going to be His. And He's going to change your desires. He's going to make you more like Him. The thing is that belief in Jesus isn't just that, just saying it. It's believing in your heart too. It's trusting Him with every part of your body, every part of you. Remember last week I talked about Romans 12:1. You sacrifice yourself as a living sacrifice. As one, you lay yourself on the altar. You give your whole being to the Lord. That's your life. And it's going to change. You're going to gain eternal life. You're not going to gain stuff, like Dion said. You know, some of you maybe didn't know that he became a Christian. But it's great to look up his testimony sometime and watch his testimony, because it was quite a testimony what the Lord brought him through to come to that place where he accepted Jesus as his Savior. All those Super Bowls and playing baseball and all the fame and all the things he says were empty. Nothing meant anything to him. You know, the very basic question then that we ask is, you know, how do I tell somebody then about the Lord? Once you believe in Jesus, you know, you got this overwhelming feeling of, you know, I got to tell somebody else about this. This is so cool. You know, I got eternal life, and I look out in the world and I see these people walking around and it's like they got blinders on. It's like they can't see their one foot in front of the other, their nose in front of their face. They can't see where they're going. And I can see they're destined for an eternity without Christ in hell, suffering. And I know the truth, and I'm destined for heaven. And, you know, am I going to just let them wander through life and end up without Christ? So there's some basic questions you can ask. The first one that you can ask is, do you know where you're going to go? I mean, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? You know, a lot of people say, well, I hope it's heaven. You say, well, you know, do you want me to share with you how to be ready? You know, and they may wonder, well, what are you talking about? And you have this one question to ask them, and you'll know exactly where they're at. This question is what you ask. If you stood before God and He asked you, why should I let you into heaven? What are you going to say? How do you answer? If you stood before God and He asked you, why should I let you into heaven? What's the reasons? Tell me. What are you going to tell Him? You're going to tell Him good looks? You know? I'm a good person, you know. I live my life. I didn't murder anybody. I live my life good. I raised a family. I'm successful. I go to church every Sunday. I taught Sunday school, for heaven's sakes. I tithed every week. That 10% was yours. You know, that answer is missing the mark. What will it be? What will the answer be? What will you give God as an answer? There's only one answer. That answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my Savior. That's why I can come into heaven. That's the only answer you can give, because nothing you do can get you into heaven. You know, I can do a lot of great things, you know, but I miss the mark. You know, there's a scripture I want us to go there. Romans chapter 3. You're already kind of in Romans, but it's 17:11 in your pew Bible. Romans chapter 3. We're going to be there, I think, the rest of the time. Well, I got one more. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Just that little phrase, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, we think that we live a good life. And you probably have. You know, I would say most all of us here in this church building right now have lived a good, solid life. We've tried to do our best. We've lived according to the golden rule, you know, do unto others, etc., etc. We probably have all done that. But you know, if you lied just once, you missed the mark. If you cheated just once, you missed the mark. If you just did one thing to break the law, and I'm talking the whole law of God, if you just did one thing in all your life, maybe you did it when you were an infant and you didn't even know what you were doing. If you broke the law in one point, you broke the whole law. You're a sinner. You missed the mark. You may say, well, I've made it all. I've done it all. I've not broken the law one bit, but I bet your thoughts have. Remember Jesus said, even if you thought it in your mind, you've done it. So none of us, and we're just like the disciples that stood before Jesus and said, well, if that's the case, who can go to heaven? Who can even be acceptable to God? And Jesus told them, believe in me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You see, there's nothing that we can do to gain righteousness, to be forgiven. I want you to go back to chapter 3. Go back to verse 10. You know, and it just emphasizes the point. It is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. What? A pretty railing you know, God is just laying it on. Verse 15 though, it says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, which is everybody, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing a law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. See, now we're sunk without Jesus. Because the law condemns us. The law says, well, you broke the law. No one's going to be declared righteous. You can stand before God and talk to Him till you're blue in the face, and it's not going to change a thing. He's going to look at you and say, you missed the mark. You've fallen short of the glory of God. Well, then I want you to look at verse 24 now. Because it gives us all that. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate the justice and His forbearance, and it goes on. So, verse 27 says, where is the boasting? It's excluded. On what principle? On observing the law? No, but on that of faith. Because we believe in Jesus Christ, that is the only way that we're going to find salvation. Salvation is only found. The only pardon, the only path, the only Savior is Jesus Christ. And that's our choice. You can choose Jesus or you cannot. But see, there's a catch here, and I want to share this. You're standing on the railroad track, right on the track, and the train is coming. You can hear it in the distance. And you hear that train coming, it's getting closer and closer. and you cross your arms and say, I choose not to make a decision. You already made a decision because you're not moving. We're already condemned as sinners before God. We've all broken the law. We're all condemned. And we stand on the railroad track and the train is coming and we tell God, I'm not going to make a choice. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it the next day. I'll do it when I'm ready. I've got a lot of partying to do. And I'm not ready to make that decision. You already made a decision. And the train is going to take you out. The only decision that you have to get you off the track is Jesus Christ. Now, there's a little confusion as well, and I want us to go to this last scripture, 1861, in your pew Bibles, 1861. 1 John 5:13. A little confusion about, well, I asked Jesus into my heart. I really feel that I believe in Him. I trust Him as my Savior. In fact, I've got a prayer up on this. I'd like that prayer stuck up on the screen that you can pray if you want to accept Jesus as your Savior. That prayer is just a guideline, and I want you to look at that while I'm reading this scripture as well, and while you're looking at this, and you can glance back and forth however you want. Verse 13. In 1 John 5, it says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. And it talked about asking. But what I want us to understand here is that when you receive Jesus as your Savior, you are saved. Now, other scriptures that we won't go to talk about doubting. And I don't want you to doubt. Because if you believe that Jesus is the Savior, and He died for your sins, that He rose again, that He is the Savior of your soul, that He is the only one that can forgive you, that He will cleanse you from all your sins, and that you decide and commit to Him that you will follow Him and live for Him from now on, you're saved. Now, you may fail a little bit here and there, but you have asked Him to fill you with your Spirit. You have asked Him to lead your life. You have given up your rights and given them to Him. And that's the prayer you want to pray. There's no middle ground. There's no not making a decision, because if you do not make the decision, you're already condemned. Making the decision is all that's in front of you at this point. And this is your chance. This is the time. You know, Jesus, God, didn't bring you here for nothing. You know, everybody that comes to church or comes to a certain place or listens to the radio at a particular time or whatever it is, God is nailing you right now. And He's saying, this is your choice. This is your chance. You may walk out of this door and may never come back again. And I mean, you may have something serious happen. We don't know. I've done enough funerals of people who intended to do something and just didn't make it. You know, that little thing called around to it. You know, I'm getting around to it. You may never get around to it. Jesus is calling you now. God is telling you now is the time. And that prayer, as we close in prayer, I want you to really consider seriously, because this is not a you know, one of those decisions you make like, well, am I going to have popcorn or am I going to have cotton candy? That's not this kind of decision. This is your eternal life is in the balance, and this is a decision that's very serious. So I want us to bow our heads, and if you are going to pray this prayer, you keep looking at it and you pray it for yourself as I close us in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray that today is the day. Lord, I pray that You would nudge, that You would push, that You would shove, that You would let people know that this is it. Time is short. I don't know what's going to happen to each individual. I have no idea. But I do know, Lord, that we plan things and it may not happen. Scripture tells us. Today and tomorrow we plan this and we plan that. But our life is a vapor, it says. It's here one moment and gone the next. And Lord, I don't know what all is running through everybody's head here. But one thing I do know is that You can straighten it all out. Just like Dion told that girl. It's because You've been running Your own life. And that's on us. Lord, I pray that all of us here have received You as our Savior, have trusted You with our lives, and that we are going to live for You and follow Your principles. And Lord, I pray that those of us that maybe we've believed in Jesus for a long time and then we just don't know how to share the gospel with somebody else, Lord, that You give us the boldness to go to that neighbor, to go to that friend and say, what would happen? If you stood before God, what would you say? Lord, I pray that we have all trusted You, and I pray that You would build in us Your character. Because church is not just something to come to and then go home and feel good about yourself. This is a place where we're challenged to live for You, to share with those who are walking around not knowing that they're destined for hell. And we have the answer. Lord, build that boldness in us that we are not afraid of people, that we'll share that hope that's within us. We pray now for Your blessing as we close with this last song, and Lord, that we might sing it with renewed excitement. Lord, thank You again for what You've done in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, and we've got one final song. We've got two verses on the screen.